He Would Never, written by Holly Wainwright and read by Hannah Vanderhyde. For my own camping mothers group, Mel, Becky, Sam, Sarah, Kiara, and Leanne, who saved my sanity many times, but draws the line at tents. Character list. Site 4. Ginger and Aiden. James, Abigail and Maya. Site 5. Juno and Emily. Bob. Site 6. Danny and Craig. Lyra and Brigitte. Site 7. Liz and Lockie. Tia, Grace and Ollie. Site 8. Sadie, Trick and Lucky. Prologue. Sunday night, 11:55 p.m., Green River Beach. This would be a fitting place for Lockie Short to die. On the edge of a splendid beach he hated with a passion. If you believed in the afterlife, which Liz definitely did, or ghosts, which Danny most definitely did not, then Lachlan Short's troubled soul would be bound to walk this stretch of river for eternity, bitching about the absence of decent surf or a proper coffee, and picking tiny shards of crushed lilac river shells out of the soles of his calloused feet. Some would think it was entirely appropriate for him to end his days in the place that most made him doubt his marriage, his masculinity, his very life choices, a campground. A hell for a man who liked the finer things, beds that weren't in close proximity to the ground, food that couldn't be cooked on a one-ring stove or in the coals of a band-defying fire, drinks not served with ice scooped from a sandy esky by a sunscreen-smeared hand. No, if Lockie Short was to be doomed to camp for eternity, he would find a way back to the light, because, actually, he wasn't dead yet. He was lying on the rainforest floor, somewhere between consciousness and unconsciousness, somewhere between the campground and the sand. And someone would find him soon, surely. Liz, or Danny, or Aiden, or Tia. They must all be frantic, beside themselves. This strip of wilderness wasn't wide, but it was dense and tricky, as all the Green River campground regulars knew. At night, you could step away to pee between trees and a thick, dark green curtain would close in, leaving you banging into branches and tripping over roots, embarrassed at your rising panic. The forest vibrated with a low thrum of life, always hungry, inching forward, manoeuvring to reclaim its stolen space. Marching insects and scuttling rodents, advancing spiders and snakes and slugs and snails, nibbling, sucking, sliming, gnawing. The strangler vines always reaching. They'd have a thick, knobbled tendril around Lockie's ankle by morning. It was strange that no one was calling his name. He was still breathing, but not so you'd notice. Shallow now. His loud Hawaiian print shirt might just save him from this terrible misunderstanding. Its hibiscus bright yellow and pink was still faintly glowing, even as the campground's lanterns and fairy lights flicked off for the night, stealing the last glimmers of light. The shirt had been ironic, which was now, of course, extremely ironic. At the beach, only a few steps away, the river was rising, lapping closer to the tree line with every sweep in, every pull out. The crabs' sandball-scrawled masterpieces were being washed away, the fish heading in from deeper water to swirl around the anchors of the dormant boats. Try to breathe with the waves. It won't be long. Can't be long. A crunch, finally, of footfall. Getting closer. No talking. No chatter. No urgency. A phone light, held low, sweeping left to right, right to left, below the eyeline of campers on the other side of the tree curtain, invisible to anyone hurrying to the toilet block in their pyjamas and thongs. Who was coming? His wife? His children?